Sean.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, I was just talking to Dan Savage about you.
Oh.
I had identified these, couples during quarantine, and I identified five scenarios, which he sliced much thinner and pointed it out, which I thought was really helpful in terms of segmentation of understanding where we are individually. But basically what I was telling him is there are five different types of people. There's single people, right? Five different types of people during quarantine. There are single people. There are single people with kids. There are couples. There are couples with kids. And then there's the other category. And I mentioned to him that I had a friend who was sort of in the other category. I don't know how comfortable you are talking about your own dating relationships, but if you want to get into that, I'd love to talk about it with you.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So you're married, you live with your wife, but until recently you also were, you had a girlfriend. And yes. So I guess Dan would consider that a poly relationship, you know, whatever the label might be. Mm-hmm. But he mentioned that it's sort of what'll happen in cases like this, if someone feels abandoned or stuck, they may have wanted to be the primary partner when they weren't the primary partner. So can you talk to me about that relationship?
Yeah. It's it was a relationship that I had for 2 years, that ended just a few days ago, ostensibly over this quarantine. I think what Dan said is mostly accurate without knowing the specifics of our situation. Right. But I don't think she wanted to be the primary, but she didn't want a hierarchy at all.
So define hierarchy in a situation like this. How would say my marriage have a hierarchy? Like, what's the hierarchy in my marriage? Because I'm not familiar with hierarchies within relationships, really. And then how would the relationship you were in have a hierarchy? And by the way, I assume you would call your marriage an open relationship, and you both date other people. Is that right?
Yeah, I prefer the term non-monogamous, just because it's more of a blanket term that allows for all sorts of different structures of non-monogamy, whether that's polyamory, which by definition involves love, or an open relationship, which maybe doesn't. Maybe that's just physical. So yeah, non-monogamy is a more blanket term. But as far as hierarchies go, I think a traditional monogamous relationship, I wouldn't describe as having much of a hierarchy within the terms of romantic relationships. You and your wife are the core, the only romantic relationship there. And in a non-monogamous relationship, some people practice what's called relationship anarchy, which aims to abolish all hierarchies. And I tried that. And it's harder than it sounds, especially when you're coming into non-monogamy with an already established core relationship. So my wife and I, we are by default the primary relationship. We are married, we cohabitate, we share finances to an extent, largely because we cohabitate. So a lot more of our life is by necessity intertwined. So any other relationship isn't going to have those aspects, which then some people would use the term secondary for those relationships, maybe even tertiary for another relationship that is even less involved. I don't like the word primary and secondary necessarily, because I don't like to think of any
sort of connotes a prioritization.
Right. Which does have to happen, and this is something I've actually realized a lot more recently in working through this with both my partners, what was both my partners, now just one partner. Right. But I like the term core relationship, that cohabitating, more connected relationship, especially because that's the relationship I had before we opened up. We were monogamous for a couple of years before we became non-monogamous. So that relationship was pre-established. In order for any of the relationships to be strong, that core relationship has to be strong, is what I've come to realize.
So tell me about the sort of, it seemed like it was a quick the evolution of the or untangling of the relationship? It went from 100 to zero quickly, or is there more nuance than that?
There's more nuance than that. It probably over the last few months went from 100 to 80 and then 70 and then from 70 to zero pretty quickly.
What about the quarantine brought that to the forefront?
The fact that I am with my wife and could not be with the other partner due to the nature of the quarantine. So that other partner, was all alone, first off, and didn't have any other partners or even any other people that they lived with, that they could be with. So they were alone and saw me with my wife, in a very fortunate situation where, you know, I'm quarantined at home with somebody. And I think that caused a lot of insecurity, not caused insecurity. Insecurity was already there. Insecurity that we'd been working with as the three of us had been working on together. There'd been a lot of communication around for the last several months, but it brought that to the fore again, very fast.
What if you put yourself in her shoes and she was in your situation? How do you think you would feel?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd like to say I've thought about that, but I probably haven't thought about that as much as I should have, which is interesting because I've been really working on self-compassion through this whole quarantine situation. I don't think I would have made the exact same decision. Definitely not nearly as rapidly as it seems to have happened. I'd like to think I would have communicated more, but I, even putting myself or trying to put myself in her shoes, I'm doing that from the point of, from the position that I, from the reality that I really do have. So that's tough to do.
There's a term that's often used in these sort of open relationships or non-monogamous relationships, compersion. And while I think that is a aspirational ideal, I also can imagine how incredibly difficult that is, and jealousy plays a role. So I'm imagining there was jealousy and maybe lack of understanding in this relationship that ended.
Yeah, maybe some jealousy. It's interesting because 6 months ago we were talking about the three of us all moving in together, all cohabitating.
Were you both dating this person, or was it just
no okay. just me, but both partners were good friends, really good friends. Actually, they'd become really strong friends.
And how will this affect their relationship?
That remains to be seen. They were in a writing group that they started together, and they haven't had opportunity to communicate much over the last couple of days.
When you say they haven't had opportunity, they've just chosen not to, or?
Yeah, I think so. I think everybody is taking some space right now. There will probably be some more communication that happens going forward, but I do think as far as a romantic relationship, the relationship's over.
Mm. So that word space is fascinating to me, because I was just talking to Dan about this, and that's the thing that actually creates, you know, high quality relationships a lot of the time, is actually giving yourself that space so you're not, you know, crowding each other. And I think one of the complications or the complexities that is being incorporated into relationships now is the inability to have that space, being literally cooped up with someone 24 hours a day or pretty damn close to that, and trying to find that space within your shared space. And Dan said he's able to do that really well with his husband. And I still struggle with that, you know, being able to be alone in a room together with someone, because I think we often feel compelled to interact with someone if they're in that same space. Or are you and your wife finding ways to be alone together right now, or are you struggling with any of that at all?
It's not as much as a struggle as I would have expected, but yeah, I'm like you. It's hard for me to be alone together in a room. I talk a lot, And so I feel the need to talk. And yet at the same time, as a writer, I work from home. I am home most of the time, and my wife is not. She works outside the house, but now she's home. So that's been a challenge, not as difficult as a challenge as I would have expected. We are only on week three, so
right.
It remains to be seen how that will progress further. But
what do you think happens after all of this with your relationship? Does it strengthen the relationship? Do you learn new things? What kind of things do you learn? Does it bring any flaws to the forefront?
I think a little bit of all of that. I think because bringing flaws to the forefront is an opportunity to acknowledge them and work through them. So I think ultimately we'll come out stronger from this. I think we'll come out stronger just from this breakup too. We learned a lot just from that.
And is your wife dating other people right now?
Yes. She's not able to see them as well. She has one other relationship as well. It's a fairly new one. So mine that just ended was 2 years old, a little over 2 years old, actually. Hers is fresh, just a couple months old, maybe at most. So it's a little bit of a different situation there, but still unfortunate.
Are you using this time to create? Are you using it to consume? Both? Do you find pulled one direction or the other?
Both. I'm consuming more than I'm creating right now. I have a book that I've been putting the finishing touches on that I plan on releasing soon, within the next few days. But I've been consuming a lot too. The Influencers, yeah. Which is interesting because it's about, as the title suggests, influencers. It's also about like celebrities, and the plot revolves around the Oscars, and it almost feels like the world that I wrote the novel, the world that the novel is about, doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it's funny you say. I just finished writing a book, and in many ways, it's a pre-pandemic book. Although what I would call it a pandemic preparation book now. Obviously, it's about minimalism and relationships and intentionality, and I would just call minimalism pandemic preparation. But in a way, that's fascinating, because I've been having this similar conversation with a lot of folks about the quarantine, and when people ask, when do you think this whole thing is going to turn around? My canned response to that at this point is, I don't think it's going to turn around. Turning around presupposes we go back to that old world, that November of 2019. And everyone I'm talking to, from Dave Ramsey to Dan Savage, all seem to think, even though they have different levels of political belief, and they have different, you know, just they're completely different people altogether, we all tend to think like this is a wake up call in a way. And what I like about, I haven't read your new book yet. I mean, I'm a big fan of your writing, but I haven't read the new book. And what I like is, maybe in a way, it's you're cataloging the last days of pre-coronavirus.
Yeah, maybe so. I think whatever comes next is going to be an adventure. That's for sure.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for doing this, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.